Good morning and welcome to our service this morning at High Street. A particularly warm welcome in more ways than one this morning. If you're here for the first time or visiting or perhaps haven't been for a while, welcome back. Or welcome to those who've been coming here for years as well. You often get left out. And a particular warm welcome to the Boys Brigade and leaders who are be involved later on in the service. And please do join us for tea, coffee and cake after the service in the coffee bar through the doors at the back. Talking of cake, Rachel says that there's no one signed up for cake, doing cake in July. So there's a list in the kitchen. Please do sign up, because otherwise there won't be any cake. So yes, it's a much appreciated ministry. So please do sign up. There has been those of you on email will have got the church newsletter, fortnightly newsletter. I'm not quite sure why there isn't one, a printed one available. There's just a list of forthcoming dates at the back, but we will get that sorted out, so there'll be available paper copies during the week. Couple of notices to highlight. On Sunday the 13th of July, after the morning service, there'll be a church family picnic on the Lees. Bring along your lunch and a rug or chair. And it's a chance to share in some fun and fellowship, weather permitting. And one other notice. On this coming Tuesday, the 1st of July, the Tuesday Fellowship and anyone else who wants to come will be cleaning shoes, school shoes for Apollos clothing that they can give out to children who need them. So that's available for anyone who wants to join. Join us at 10:30 to 11:45 in the Bethany Room. You can speak to Helen James to find out more, or just turn up. So our service this morning will be led by our minister, Jason. And before Jason leads us, I'll just lead us in prayer. Father God, although we come together this morning from many different places, both geographically and emotionally, we all live in a world that mostly completely ignores you. Father God, I pray this morning that we may glimpse afresh your glory, that we might experience the love of your Son Jesus for each one of us, and know the power of your Spirit guiding us and leading us. And pray that for each one of us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you very much, Mike. Good morning, church. It's amazing. It's amazing to be here this morning. I think we can tell we're a little bit into holiday season, but that's okay. Hopefully people are off enjoying themselves. That's what we'd wish that blessing on them. Boys Brigade, I reiterate, it's just amazing to have you with us this morning. It's a real joy, real pleasure for us as we look at the awards later in the service. But we're going to get into the most important reason why we're here right now, and that is worshiping our Father God in heaven. So we're going to sing two songs together. We're going to praise Jesus as we sing "What a Beautiful Name," and that will transition as we declare that there is no one like God. For though God calls us to be holy, God will always be holy, holy, holy. So we're going to sing of Jesus, and then we're going to raise our hands as we give glory to God this morning.
What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, heaven tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
then please be seated. Shall we just rest for a moment in silence? Though we're not, of course, resting in silence. Let us rest in silence as we rest truly in God's presence right now. Let us just welcome God here in this place. Loving God, we're here this morning for you. We'll have many songs and presentations and word in this service, but it all should point to you. Lord, we've just sung, Jesus, that there is no name that comes close to your name. We've just sung, Father, that you are holy, holy, holy. There is none beside you. This morning, Lord, as this room transforms into the atmosphere of heaven, as your angels and your archangels worship you in song and praise and prayer and exhortation. Loving God, I just pray that we'll be able to look at you in fresh ways. And there we will find the source of life and the source of love. In this service, as we truly look at authority, what it means to be under the authority of another. This is your time and your space, Lord. And we give you authority now over whatever happens this morning, all for your glory, Lord. Amen. So this morning, so we have just sung about Jesus and his name being higher. We've just sung about God is holy, 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 is the most holy. There is nobody like God or even comes close to God. No, not one person and not one angelic being. We're going to sing in a second, Father God, I wonder. The theme that we're going to be looking at this morning really is, what does it mean to be children? What does it mean to be children? What does it mean to live? Not just live, but to give authority to somebody else. So we're going to sing again, kind of in that ilk now, as we sing about our Father in heaven, God the Father. And as we declare that we don't know how we'd get out of bed in the morning if it wasn't for God. The words of the songs don't actually say that, but that's what I often wonder myself in my life. But let's praise God once more as we sing, Father God, I wonder.
Now I am your child, I am adopted in your family, I
Amen. Please be seated, church. Please be seated. Church, how good is it to see Boys Brigade with us this morning? That is absolutely the correct response for you this morning. It's great to have you here. It's great to see so many of you here as well. So it's probably the most we've had of Boys Brigade present in the church for quite a while. So we're celebrating this morning. It's a real honour. It's a real honour for us to have you in the service with us. We have some presentations to give out this morning for you. Mark is kindly, I'd say Mark's here this morning, and Mark's always here with Boys Brigade. Chris is not here this morning because at Boys Brigade the other day he fell and he's fractured his arm. So say that again. Dislocated his elbow. He's not fractured. Way better. It's fine. Let's not pray. We don't need to pray for him now, church. It's just a dislocation. Yeah. So that's why Chris isn't here this morning. So he's got his arm in a cast. Yeah. Don't go playing down the leaves. Be careful at the church picnic. That's what God's teaching us this morning. Be careful at the church picnic in a couple of weeks' time. Mark has kindly given me a list of some of the things that Boys Brigade have been up to this past year. In the juniors, I'm going to just pick out a few because there's loads. You've been playing messy games. Yes, you have. You've been playing battleships, gingerbread stars and chocolate bar shakes. It's not sound very healthy, is it? Especially when we get to one of the other activities, polio cupcakes. That title concerns me, that we're baking polio cupcakes, but Mark assures me it was all okay and there was no polio involved. Holy squiggles, God loves for all, and team games and temping bowling and laser quest and Blenheim Christmas lights and all other things. And they are current holders of some battalion competitions like the quiz and temping bowlings. So that's what juniors have been up to. What have companies and seniors been up to? Playing darts, doing knots, cook eggs three ways. Sounds good. Sexting. And Mark assures me that they've not been sexting, but looking at the dangers of sexting, which actually is really, really important. The dangers of communication mobile phone. It's amazing that that's been looked at. Looking at VE Day and Blenheim Christmas lights and temping bowling and the like. So that's the activities they've been up to this past 12 months. Sounds fun, doesn't it? Yeah, it does sound fun. So they're a growing company. If you know of people that might want to get involved, speak to Mark afterwards and they'll point you in the right direction. Shall we do some awards? It's what you're here for this morning. Excuse me. So we're going to do some awards. And juniors, we're going to start with yourselves this morning. I now can't see you. That's good, isn't it? I'm going to start with yourselves this morning. Let me take your awards, and then you can come to me so I don't have my back to you. So what we'll do, if I call your name out, so what you've got this morning is an envelope, and in that envelope is the various badges that you've earned over the last year. So when I call your name, if you want to come up this way, because the health and safety officer would have a moan if I didn't say that. So, boys, if you come up this way when I said it, and I'll give you your badges, shake your hand, and then once juniors sit down, we'll applaud juniors all together. Then we'll do the same for the seniors. Does that make sense? Okay, so first up is Judah. Judah, do you want to come and get your badges for us this morning? Well done, mate. Well done. There you go. Thank you. And Harvey. Well done, Harvey. Well done. Jacob. Well done, Jacob. Well done, mate.
Thank you.
And last but not least, Ethan. Well done, well done. And Jacob and Ethan are moving up at this stage. So they've got an extra certificate in there as well. And they both look shocked at that news that I've just put on them this morning. So they've got a certificate for that as well. So that was the juniors. So now we come on to the seniors and company. So Leo, if you want to come up. Morning, Leo. Good to see you. Well done.
Thank you.
And then Giorgio. Well done, Mac, well done. And Terry. Well done, Terry. Well done. Let's give all of them a round of applause. And then we've got two final awards to give out. And these awards, there's one to the juniors and one is to the companies and seniors. And this award is given out to the boy who has the best attendance record and is the best presented as well throughout the year, which is quite a prestigious award in the BB company. So in the junior section this year, and I believe you don't know who's getting the award. So the junior section, it was very close. Yes, Mark did say to me this morning, it was very, very close. But still, we do have one person the award is going to, and that is Harvey. Well done, Harvey. That's good work. Well done. And then in the companies and seniors, it's a smaller award because they don't wear the uniform quite as much. But the award this year for the best attendance and presentation of self goes to Leo. Well done, Leo. Well done. So we're going to come to our prayers of intercession now. And this morning I've chosen for our prayers of intercession. There is a lot going on in the world. I'm very aware of that, church. I'm sure we're all praying for the world at home. But this morning I want to pray for our Boys Brigade company and, in fact, the Boys Brigade throughout all places in the UK. And we're just going to give time to pray for them. So let us pray. Loving God, we give thanks to the Boys Brigade, all 20,000 of them in the UK. For each and every one, you know them by name. You know how many hairs are there on their heads. And you have a deep, deep love for every single one of them. We pray for the boys here present today, for the two who can't be here, and we pray for each young boy who is in the Boys Brigade in this country. We want to see them blessed. We want to see their souls prosper. We want to see them know peace, love, and grace. The vision of the Boys Brigade says that it is for children and young people to experience life to the full, John 10:10. And the prayer of the Boys Brigade and hope of the Boys Brigade is that children and young people experience life to the full through coming to know Jesus for themselves. Their values are faith, inspiration, care, and trust. And we pray, Lord, that week on week as they attend and are taught, that they will come to know these values in their life, that they will have faith in you, Jesus, that they will be inspired by you, Jesus. Because of the love that they found in you, they care for the world and for all other people. And loving God, we pray that they learn to trust you with their eternity. We pray for them here and throughout the land. We want to see them blessed. We want to see them know you, Jesus. We end this prayers of intercession with the Boys Brigade prayer, and then we'll bring that all together in the prayer that Jesus taught us. This is the Boys Brigade prayer. Bless, O God, the Boys Brigade, and give to it greater power to advance thy kingdom throughout the world. Grant in thy mercy that every member, past and present, may prove steadfast in his fight against evil and true in his allegiance to thee. Help us in times of temptation. Make us strong when we are weak. Give us courage in difficulty, fairness in duty, loyalty in friendship, and finally, by thy mercy, bring us into thine everlasting kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. And we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Church, the word that we're opening this morning is just one verse. Just one verse. So rather than have somebody come up and read one verse out, I said to Mike, I'll read it myself if that's okay. So the verse that we're looking at is Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. If you've got your Bible on you, you might want to open there. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. And this is what it says, and I'm reading from the New International Version. It says, "Children, obey your parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life in the land the Lord gives you or on the earth." Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Boys, you're in church this morning. Some of your parents are here with you, I know, and some of your parents may not be. Imagine those of you whose parents aren't here this morning. You're going to get home, and your parent or parents are going to say to you, "How is church?" And you'll say, "Boring." No, yes, that's the right answer, Jacob. You said yes at first. I spotted it. You'll say, "Boring." And that your parent or parents will say to you, "Oh, I know, I'm so sorry. You don't have to go very often, though, so it's okay. But I'm sorry that I made you go this morning." And then they'll say, what did the guy up front talk about anyway?" And you'll say, "Got to honor my father and mother." And that your parent then is going to say, "I love that vicar. What an amazing vicar. You need to get to church more often. You're going back again next week." That's how I imagine that conversation is going to go when you get home. Ephesians 6, 5 and 6 is a really important passage that we don't talk about enough. Probably, maybe in fear, some of it. But it talks about how Christian households should function. How Christian households should function. And one of those aspects that we're going to talk about today is this instruction that children should obey their fathers and their mothers. That Bible reading, Ephesians 6:1, is directly quoting the Old Testament. It's the fifth of the Ten Commandments that Paul is speaking about. But Paul kind of takes us in a different direction because he adds in the word children. And the Greek word that he uses there to mean children doesn't mean, well, we're all children of somebody, aren't we? Whether they're with us or not, we're all children of somebody. But actually the word that Paul uses there is talking about children who are still dependents. He's talking about young children who still live at home in their father and mother's household. And he tells them that they must honor their father and their mother. So before we talk about this, as is right, I need to address the pastoral issues that looking at a subject like this may raise. For some of you in the room, as I've started talking about children, there's pain for various reasons. For some of you in the room, as I've started talking about fathers and mothers, there's pain in the room for various reasons. And I want to acknowledge that, because life isn't always easy. Life isn't always perfect. Life isn't always how we would want it. And I want to reiterate that though we're going to talk about this, we here at High Street Methodist Church Witney are committed to making sure that this is a safe place for all. A safe place for you physically, a safe place for you emotionally, and a safe place for you spiritually as well. But it is only right that I talk about God's design of things. How God really wants things to be. Because it's when we look at how God wants things to be that we can start to try and order our lives in that way, because it will always benefit us. So though I acknowledge the pastoral difficulties that come with talking about a subject like this, I don't apologize for talking about God's design, because God's design is perfect. The fact is, church, that nobody in this room has the perfect household. Not even me. Nobody in this room has the perfect household. So actually, this is difficult for all of us. But as followers of Jesus, it's really important to look at what perfection does look like and to try and strive and achieve for it. Shall I give you an example of what I'm talking about? So I believe, because the Bible tells me so, that children should be raised by a father and a mother. But do you know the phrase, not all superheroes wear capes? There's a phrase, not all superheroes wear capes. And for me, now I've got an almost three-year-old, in the last 3 years I've realized that phrase should be written about parents who do it alone. Because they are superheroes. We barely function in our house looking after one child and there's two of us. Yet I know there are parents who do it alone, raising three or four children. Not all superheroes wear capes. People who do parenting alone, for whatever reason, there's many reasons, I want you to know, if you're in this room, you are an utter superhero. And I applaud you. I tip my hat to you. I don't know how you do it. It's incredible. But why am I like so in awe of you? Because you're doing a job that was designed for two people. And you're doing it alone. And that's amazing that you're able to do that. But you are doing the job of two people. Why have I chosen this example? One, if that is you and you're here today, I want you to know the first thing is to pat yourself on the back for the job that you're doing. Because I know you're doing your best. And that is unbelievable. And the second thing is, because if we look at God's design, which is that a child would be raised by a father and mother, and the father and the mother are complement area, and they complement how they raise those children together. They bring different things to the party. Maybe if you're doing it alone, it's just an acknowledgement of that and a recognition of it that will just enable you to see some of the things that you don't naturally give your child and to make adjustments for it. Does that make sense, church? So it's by looking at God's design that is always helpful. But within that, we acknowledge that we don't live in the perfect world and it always doesn't work that way. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well within you and that you may enjoy long life. The NIV in Ephesians 6 says, on the earth, but if it's the Old Testament commandment said, in the land that the Lord is giving you, the promised land. The fifth commandment's really interesting. It's different to all the other commandments. Let me explain. The first four commandments, I won't test your church because I'm not sure that I'd get them all in the right order either. But the first four commandments are these. Have no other gods other than God. Have no idols. Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. And remember to keep holy the Lord's day, the Sabbath. The first four commandments given only directly relate to our relationship with God. Commandments 6 to 7 only deal with our relationship with other humans. They are, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't bear false witness against your neighbor, and don't covet any of your neighbor's things. So you've got the first four are only the vertical, us and God. You've got the last five, which are only horizontal, us and other humans. But then we've got this fifth one in the middle that is the first of human-to-human instruction we have in the Ten Commandments. But also it has a divine nature to it, because it actually is starting to have a consequence that if we obey this, then God's going to do something for us in the promised land. It's kind of like a hinge of the commandments. And because it's the first one that talks about our relationship with other humans, it's foundational. Check this. The instruction to honor your mother and father comes before the instruction not to murder anybody. Does that seem quite surprising? That ordering. But that is the order that God gave it to us. Why? 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 Church, do you have somebody in your life who loves to tell you about their dreams? It's boring if you do. One of the most boring things in life is when you hear those words, "I had this dream last night." Okay, yes, what was it? Tell me all about it. Church, I had a dream about 12 years ago. Let me tell you about it. I'm not going to go into the detail, but about 12 years ago, I was in bed and I was reading my Bible, and I was reading the passage of the Ten Commandments being given at Mount Sinai. And I got to that fifth commandment, and I was like, "Lord, of all the 10 things, the top 10 laws, the top 10 teachings that you want to give us, the most important 10 things that we need to know for life to function and for the world to function, I understand don't murder, I understand don't steal, and all those things. But the thing that I struggle to know why is in the top 10 is to honor your father and mother. But God's put it there." And I fell asleep. I won't bore you with the detail of that dream, but I can still picture it today. It was the only God dream I have ever had in my life. You know a God dream if you wake from a God dream. I woke with pure clarity. In that dream, somebody came out of the clouds and they spoke to me one simple thing. And all they said was, "It was the first one broken." It was the first one broken. And the clarity that I immediately had is the world unraveled when Adam and Eve dishonored their father. And it all came from there. We'll come back to that. Honor your father and mother so you may live long in the land the Lord is giving you. So we understand it. What does it mean to honor somebody? It's one of those words, isn't it? Oh, you want to honor somebody. But what does it actually mean? The Hebrew word for honor is kavod. Kavod. I quite like that word. If you're new in church and you're like, why do I need to know what honor is in Hebrew? It's because the Ten Commandments were written in Hebrew. That's why. And it's sometimes when we go back to the original language, we find some meaning that is we don't get in translation. The word kavod, the root word of it means to be heavy or weighty. Interestingly, kavod also we translate to glory. It's the same thing. Glory and honor are the same things. But the word kavod means to see something as heavy or weighty. I always think it's helpful to think how we use that, and we know it to be true, but we don't recognize what we're saying. So there is a phrase that we use quite often, or it's certainly in our cultural norms. And let me put it this way. Imagine you're speaking to somebody and they've got an important test coming up, A-levels or GCSEs or something like that. And you know it's really important that they do well in it. And you speak to them and say, "How are you getting on preparing for your test?" And they're like, "Yeah, I might start tomorrow to revise. You're going to be like, you should have started by now. How are you going to do? Well, it doesn't really matter. You know, it'll be what it'll be. Okay, sirrah, sirrah. You're going to be like, no, that's not the right way for things to be. And you might say to them a phrase. You say, look, you cannot take this test. And then there's a word that begins with the letter L. Can anybody think what it might be? Lightly. So we have the understanding of what it means to honor something, to give it weight, to give it importance, because we use the opposite. Don't take something lightly in life that should be honored. Honor means to give something its importance, to recognize its proper place in your light, in your life. Literally, because this is an instruction given for children, the parent is heavier than the child. So the parent is more important in the ordering of things than the child. That's what it means for children to honor their parents, to recognize them as being more weighty than they are. How do you honor your parents? Ari is yet to walk up to me and say, Daddy, I honor you. Maybe this week, church, pray for her. And it would be really lovely if she did. That would be really nice. But that's not truly what it means to honor somebody. Do you know when you really honor somebody? When they're not around. You know, if we think about in terms of children and young adults going out and they meet their friends and their friends are like, I think we should bunk off school today, or I think we should do this, or I think we should do that. It's in that moment, who are you going to give more weight to in your life? Are you going to give more weight to the people who are in front of you trying to encourage you to do something? Or in that moment, are you going to choose to give more weight to your parents even though they're not there and the things that they have taught you about? To honor your parent is to give them proper weight and authority in your life, especially when they are not present. Does that make sense? And then we start to realize that God gave this commandment because God wanted to start to improve the world through the family unit. Because what we teach and establish in our homes then starts to spread out into the world as we honor our parents wherever we are. So this is such an important commandment because God establishes the household as the vehicle to be a blessing to the whole world. By honoring our parents. Let's go back to my dream. The first one broken. Adam and Eve didn't dishonor God by eating the fruit. They dishonored God by listening to the serpent and giving the serpent weight. The first one broken, and it all unraveled from there, and it did it simply because the parent wasn't present. So we, church, need to make sure that we're honoring God at all times and all places, even if you're not aware of his presence. This is the way things should be. So how do we teach our children to honor? How do we teach our children to honor us? Honor me, child, honor me. I really struggled with this subject until I got to this question, because I was thinking, God, are you telling me that the top 10 instructions, laws, teachings, whatever you want to call them, the honor your parent is in there, one of the top 10 things that must be done by humanity, and you're laying this responsibility for the foundation of a culture of honor to start in the home and spread out to the whole world so the world becomes a better place. Are you saying that you're putting that responsibility and you're laying it at the feet of children? Because that doesn't seem very fair, God. They're just children. And then I got to this question, how do you teach children to honor you? And the answer is simple, you honor your own parents. Because children learn by mimicking. and watching and observing. So church, if we want to establish a culture of honor in our own homes, we do it by honoring our parents, even if they're no longer present. And that's how we teach our children this beautiful, profound culture of honor that will shape the world as God wants it to be shaped. But what if your parent isn't a good parent? What if it's really hard to honor your parent? Because that happens because it's not a perfect world. Church, I've taught here on forgiveness before, and as followers of Jesus, we know about grace and being recipients of grace and passing on grace to others. I'm not going to go into that today. But if your parents have not been good to you, if you are able to do one thing, just one thing, I think it would be this. When your own children are present, you try and honor your parents, because they're going to look at you and they're going to see how you respond to difficult situations, and they're going to mimic it and model it. It's not easy, but if you can just do it in one place, there's only one place that you can find it in your heart to honor your father and mother, make sure it's in front of your children. Because God has established it that way. You see, honoring your parents is a generational command. God says the first generation, those Israelites, will learn it and pass it on to their children. And they'll pass it on to their children. And they'll pass it on to their children. And they'll pass it on to their children. We need to make sure that that chain is not broken. Because generation after generation, God is trying to layer and upon layer his teachings, his kingdom values, the way the world should be. And we do see that as the world improves today, just as it has since the time of Jesus. After they get those Ten Commandments, Deuteronomy 6 says this: "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." This culture that God is calling us to establish of honoring our parents actually is not given to children at all. It's given to those of us who understand the commands of God, so that we will model it upwards, so that our children will model it upwards, and so on and so on and so on. To finish, let's go back to the first for the final time. Children, honor your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment of a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life in the land the Lord gives you. It's the only commandment with a consequence to it. Given to those Israelites, you need to listen to this commandment, because it's going to really matter. When you get to that promised land, this commandment is really going to matter. How you've responded to this commandment is really going to matter, Israelites, when you get to that promised land. The interesting thing is, the people receiving that law at Sinai never made it to their promised land, because the Bible tells us that generation didn't make it. It was their children and their children's children. So it always had to be a generational promise that was passed down. When those children's children got to the promised land, what did they see their church? They saw people and came back and said, "We're like grasshoppers to them. They're giants." When they first get into the promised land, where do they come up to? They come against Jericho, this massive city with these huge walls that are ominous and oppressive, and they can't do anything about these walls. I'm sure they wanted to run at this point. These huge people, these huge cities, these huge walls. How can we, people who have come out of slavery, possibly conquer this land?
I'm sure they wanted to run and say, well, there's the promised land, but that's the average land. We'll go to the average land over there. But if they had turned and gone to the average land, they wouldn't have been honoring the journey that their parents had been on. So they had to go towards the promised land. They had to face the giants and the walled cities. I don't know much about giants. I've never met a giant, church. That might surprise you to know. Anyone here ever met a giant? No, I didn't think so. But one thing I do know about a giant is they probably weigh quite a lot. But God weighs more. I've never been to Jericho. It doesn't stand anymore. But I've been to Jerusalem and seen the size of those walls. They're really, really big. But God's bigger. God's way bigger. Honoring God, giving honor to God in our life, the ones who created us, the ultimate creator, the ultimate father, literally means that in any situation, you can say, my dad is bigger than your dad. The commandment to honor your father and mother is ultimately a tool to teach you to give honor to those that created you, and ultimately that will be to God, especially when they're not present. It becomes a generational teaching tool to make the world a better place in a real practical sense after generation is founded on the teachings of Jesus. It all starts in our home, people. It all starts in our home. But more than that, it teaches us that God is bigger than any situation we may face. It teaches us that in life, when we come across giants, we're able to say, I've got this, because I've been practicing every day. I know who the weightiest being in my life is. I know who is bigger than big and stronger than stronger, and that's my Father God in heaven. So that if I come against a giant, you might look big to me, but compared to my Father in heaven, you are nothing. And I know that my God has got this. When we come against those obstacles that look at like huge walls and things that we possibly can't get around or over, we're not going to be intimidated by the size and the weight of them, because we know that we've got a God behind us who is way bigger, because we've been practicing honoring our Father every day of our lives. Church, one day, we're going to all face the biggest obstacle. It's called death. The biggest obstacle we will ever face in life is called death. So you can either fear it and give weight to it, or you can smile and smirk a little bit and say to it, it's okay. All my life I've been honoring my Father, and he is bigger than you. He's already defeated you. So move out my way. I'm going on to eternity, where I will be with my God and he will be with me in the land he has promised me. And nothing will get in the way of that. Amen. We're going to sing that song that the music group so beautifully taught us before the service. And church, stand with me if you're able, as we worship God our Father.
Been faithful, and all
Let us just bring ourselves in silence and quietness before God. Let us open our hearts to God the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to minister to us. You know, the Holy Spirit loves you. God loves you. There is no condemnation in Jesus, but just love. God just wants the best for you. Have you given weight to the wrong things in life? Are there things in your life that you're seeing as important, that you're giving import to, but ultimately you know that it's fruitless? Maybe it's even destructive. Bring those things before God now. And recognize the true weight of God. Give him honor. Give him glory. Lord, we confess and we repent. And we are forgiven. Through your grace, Jesus. Maybe it is that you heard this morning and God doesn't even feature in your life. You're not even sure that God exists.
And that's going to work for you for a little while. But you know what? Then you're going to come against obstacles in life and situations that you suddenly realize you don't have the power. You can't do anything about it. And they are going to impose their authority on you, whether you like it or not. The ultimate of those opponents is going to be death. And there is nothing in your power you can do to stop death from having authority over you. But here's the good news, that is not true. That is not true. There is a choice you can make so that nothing, not even death, can separate you from the love of God. And that's to choose Jesus, who died on the cross, defeating death, so that you can be raised to new life. If you're here this morning and you haven't made that choice yet, just ask God. Let's just hold some silence. Loving God, in life we all get things wrong. We all fail, mess up, make wrong choices. And yet in it all, you're gracious and kind to us. You treat us as not as we deserve, but you treat us instead as you know that we can be. You are the Father who just wants the best for his children. You love us so much that you died for us, so that we can be eternal with you. So today, God, we choose to honor you, to give you the proper place in our lives, because you are the source of life and the source of love. We give you thanks. We give you honor and glory. Amen. I've got two joyous things to do before we come to our final song for this gathered act of worship. And the first thing I'm going to ask to do, and she doesn't know this, Linda, would you come and join me, please? Oh, if you could have seen Linda's face when I said that. Come and join me, Linda. One of the joys for me this morning is to have Mike do our welcome as our new steward. And Linda, after 2 years as a steward, is that right? 2 years as a steward, but for all of my 6 years here and longer as church secretary, organizer of a disorganized minister, the one who sends things out and does so much behind the scenes. Personally, this is my joy, I get to speak personally. Personally, Linda, I could not have done this 6 years without you. You have been a great support and asset and friend. And the friendship will not end, I know. But Linda has done so much for this church. She really, really has over many years. And that will continue. We're not saying goodbye to Linda. But today, as she steps down from steward of this church, we honor her. And we give praise for her. And we give you glory as well, Linda. So shall we show some love to Linda this morning? There is a card for you that people have signed, and there is a little gift as well. But before I hand that to you, let me...
Thank you, Jason.
Bless you. Thank you.
Thank you for your support to me.
Church, as Linda retakes her seat, speak to her afterwards. Give your own personal thanks. But we honour you this morning, Linda. Thank you. The second thing we have to do before we come to our sign-off song, today is is Sunday, is Conference Sunday. So the Methodist Church, our whole nation body, is our conference this week. A really important thing happens at conference on the Sunday. This morning, starting at 10:45, ministers who are not yet ordained are called into full connection with the church, full relationship with the Methodist Church. And then this afternoon, they will go to various places where hands are laid on them and they receive the Holy Spirit anew as they are ordained ministers, presbyters, and deacons of the Methodist Church. And this afternoon, that is happening to our very own, the Reverend Rachel Prince. Isn't that glorious, church? So we're going to pray for Rachel and for Ian and for Naomi and Hannah, the family. But church, can we pray for the Reverend Rachel Prince as she will kneel this afternoon and be ordained into the Church of God? Let us pray. Loving God, we give thank you for Rachel and for her faith. A faith that is not empty, but is faithful. And it is in that faithfulness that she responded to your call to ministry. Though she looked at the cost, though she looked at the challenges, she gave you honor and said yes. So this afternoon, as that incredible moment happens, as the whole Abbey will shout out when they are asked the question, is she worthy? And everybody will cry out, they are worthy. We at her home church this morning say that we find Reverend Rachel Prince to be fully worthy of that calling. And we love her and we honor her and we pray for her now. May her ministry be powerful. May it be fruitful for your kingdom, Jesus. May she give glory to you upon glory upon glory. We pray for Ian, our husband, who we love. We pray for Naomi and Hannah, whom we love, and ask your blessings upon them as well. Keep them in your embrace. Remind them of your love, and that you have plans for each of them. Today, we at High Street Methodist Church Whitney celebrate the ordination of one of our own as a presbyter in the Methodist Church in this land. We give thanks for her and ask your eyes to be turned towards her and give her your peace. Amen. Amen. So we come to sing our final song in this gathered act of worship. And we're going to sing a song that for me sings of the one thing, the most important thing that Christianity offers that no other faith can offer in the world, assurance of our salvation today in Christ Jesus. Because today we can know that we are eternal because we've already chosen Jesus as our King. So stand with me, church, as we sing, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine.
Descended, bring from above.
church a prayer of blessing. If you want prayer for anything after this service, over there, underneath the stained glass window, the prayer team will be. If you're new here, we often say at this church that we believe in prayer, and we believe in prayer for anything. It doesn't have to be anything major. You might have a bit of a headache. Go for prayer. You may want a blessing for the week ahead. Go for prayer. You might have some challenges in your life. Go for prayer. You might just want to go for prayer because it's good to go for prayer. So the prayer team will be open for all over underneath the window. Let me pray a prayer blessing on us. I pray that we're able to honor our fathers and our mothers. I pray for comfort where that is hard. But ultimately, Lord, I pray that we will know you as Father, and that you have adopted us into your family, and you call us your children. May we know your love, and may we know your presence in our lives now and for all eternity. We give thanks for your sacrifice, Jesus, that made it all possible. Amen. Amen. Amen.